If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at luckymojo.com.
Give me a go, no go for launch. Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Surgeon.
Go flight.
Ecom.
We're go flight.
GNC.
We're go.
Telmuse.
Go.
Control.
Go flight.
Procedures.
Go.
Inco.
Go.
FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go flight.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
The views and opinions expressed by Professor Porterfield do not necessarily reflect the views of the sponsors or their affiliates. From deep in the heart of Texas, where the stars at night are big and bright, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield. Here to tell it like it was and how it is, to help school you so no one can fool you. Brought to you by the good folks at the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in beautiful Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. So now, without further ado, here's Professor Porterfield. Good evening to you one and all. I am Professor Charles Porterfield, and hoodoo is my business. Welcome back once again to the Now You Know Show. And if you're detecting that my voice sounds a little different, a little crisper, a little cleaner, that is because this show that you are listening to right now was pre-recorded. Yes, that's right, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. This show was pre-recorded for you, what is yesterday, August 23rd, instead of August 24th, where you are right now in the future. And the reason, you may be asking yourselves,
gosh, Professor Porterfield, why did you pre-record the show?
Well, the reason I pre-recorded the show, my friends, is because even as you hear the sound, the pre-recorded sound of my voice, I am on my way, if not, by the grace of God, in New Orleans, Louisiana. That's right, folks. I am currently in New Orleans, Louisiana. They hired me to come down there, and I am there right now. And I will be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if you would like to get a hold of me or see me or get a reading from me, why don't you come on by The Standard? That's right, The Standard. The Standard is a fantastic, beautiful, wonderful restaurant and bar in New Orleans, and it is located at 4206 Magazine Street. That's right, 4206 Magazine Street, The Standard. They have excellent food and a wonderful atmosphere, and I will be there. So drop on by, and I'll be there. Maybe you can get a reading. Maybe you can meet and talk with me. Maybe you can just get some excellent food and some fine drinks. So that is what is the cause of the pre-recorded Now You Know show this week. Now, since we last joined together here, a whole lot of things have happened. Charlottesville, Boston, attacks by drivers in cars against protesters, various stumbling speeches by Donald Trump, strange and unusual things out of the administration, the dismissal of Bannon from his position in the White House, and many other things. Landslides, earthquakes, in fact, the darkening of the sun. Many, many things have transpired since we last spoke. And I have been asked by a number of people, what are my opinions on this? What do you think about this professor? Where do you stand on this professor? What's going on with this professor? And you know I'm going to say something. But I'm going to save that for the pontification, which will be at the end of our show. Well, towards the end of our show. It'll be in the later half, as we say in radio, of the show. But for now, let's go on over to the LMC Radio News Desk and see what the news is for today. Take it away, News Desk.
Good evening. This is the news of Philip Fogg reading. Today is Thursday, August 24th. The 236th day of 2017. There are 29 days until autumn begins and 129 days left in the year. The 24th through the 25th will be auspicious days to bake, cut firewood, mow to increase growth, dig holes, wax floors, get married, buy clothes, entertain friends, and host a party. The 26th through the 27th will be a good time to plant seed beds. Plant peas, beans, tomatoes, peppers, and other above-ground crops in southern Florida, California, and Texas. This will be an extra good time for leafy vegetables. Conditions will be poor for fishing until the 26th of the month. Today's highlight in history comes to us from this date in 1992 when Hurricane Andrew smashed into Florida, causing $30 billion in damage and 43 deaths. Also on this date, in AD 79, the long dormant volcano Vesuvius erupted, burying the Roman cities of Pompeii and Herculaneum in volcanic ash. An estimated 20,000 people died. In 1572, the St. Bartholomew Day's massacre of French Protestants at the hands of Catholics began in Paris. In 1814, War of 1812, British forces invaded Washington, D.C., setting fire to the Capitol, which was still under construction, and the White House, as well as other public buildings. In 1912, Congress passed a measure creating the Alaska Territory. Congress also approved legislation establishing parcel post delivery by the U.S. Post Office Department, slated to begin on January 1, 1913. In 1932, Amelia Earhart embarked on a 19-hour flight from Los Angeles, California to Newark, New Jersey, making her the first woman to fly solo, nonstop, from coast to coast. In 1949, the North Atlantic Treaty came into force. In 1954, President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed the Communist Control Act, outlawing the Communist Party in the United States. In 1967, a group of demonstrators led by Abby Hoffman caused a disruption at the New York Stock Exchange by tossing dollar bills onto the trading floor. In 1981, Mark David Chapman was sentenced in New York to 20 years to life in prison for murdering John Lennon. Chapman remains in prison. In 2006, the International Astronomical Union declared that Pluto was no longer a full-fledged planet, demoting it to the status of a dwarf planet. Today's LMC birthday greetings go out to composer-musician Mason Williams, who is 79. Rhythm and blues singer Marshall Thompson of the Chi-Lites is 75. Rock musician Ken Hensley is 72. Actress Ann Archer is 70. And actor, writer, comedian Stephen Fry is 60. Our thought for the day comes from Marceline Cox, American writer, who said, quote, "Life begins when a person first realizes how soon it will end." End quote. This has been the news from the LMC Radio News Desk, and we now turn you over to Professor Porterfield and the Lucky Numbers.
Lucky number, oh, dreaming of lucky numbers, hoping that those lucky numbers,
yeah,
will show for me.
Numbers gonna show for you and me.
Superstition,
or even make me suspicious.
Table with 13 dishes,
it will make you please have and see.
Hey, that's mommy,
yeah?
Yeah, man.
Well, okay, then.
Put my trust in goof or dust,
'cause you know someday it may bring you a seven.
Or maybe a lucky 11.
Oh, that you be in heaven.
Lucky number for me.
Yeah!
Oh, and you need not just trust in goof or dust, as advised by the Nicholas Brothers, because we have the lucky numbers and card to you here each and every week, supplied by ProfessorPorterfield.com. Why not stop on by there and take a look? And this week's lucky numbers are 17, 21, 33, 39, 45, and 50. Once again, those lucky numbers are 17, 21, 33, 39, 45, and 50. This week's lucky three-digit numbers are 109. That's right, 109. That's 109. 377. That's 377. And 524. That's 524. The card of the week is the Three of Clubs, an argument, stubbornness, quarrels, and a need to watch one's temper. This coming week will be a bit rough around the edges, and there will be challenges at keeping one's temper, as you are tempted to dive into fights. Avoid being stubborn or stonewalling others, and try to be peaceful and not let your own rigidity lead you into fights and quarrels. Remember, our week runs Thursday to Thursday, so check in with the Now You Know show to get the numbers and cards when they first come out. And if you hit, remember where you get. Till Church of Quimby, Texas, our own Miss Loretta with Cooking with Miss Loretta.
Sweet Loretta Martin thought she was a woman, but she was another man. All the girls around her say she's got it coming, but she gets it while she can.
Covering, turn your oven off and your broiler on and give your chops between 2 and 5 minutes under the broiler, depending on how crispy you like them. Take it out, let it cool for maybe 2 to 4 minutes, and serve it up. It's so delicious. All the potatoes will be cooked up in the wonderful meat au jus from the pork chops, and they'll just be tender and delightful. I will tell you, though, if you have a bigger family, or if you wanted to cook this to take to a picnic or a potluck, you could get a deeper dished baking pan, and you could do multiple layers. You could do your potatoes, your pork chops, then another layer of potatoes on top of those pork chops, and another layer of pork chops on top of them. This is a wonderful, simple, and easy recipe. It only dirties one pan and a cutting board, and you can have it all cleaned up and ready to go and have dinner for your family in less than an hour and 10 minutes. You can't beat a deal like that. So I hope that you'll give it a try this week, and let me know if you enjoy it or not. We sure do enjoy it around here. So until next week, bye-bye.
Thank you, Miss Loretta, for that wonderful recipe. I have to tell you, folks, that Miss Loretta actually came over, and her and her husband, the notorious Count Goulash, came and visited my wife and I this week, and Miss Loretta and my wife made this very recipe in our kitchen, and it was delicious. So hope you all enjoy it as much as I did. I had seconds. Speaking of kitchens, up next, we're going to go into the kitchen. This week, we're going to be talking about whiskey. So try to use some moderation. I mean, you don't want to come down with the blues. Say who that was. Now, I'm not there live and in person, so you all are going to have to use the honor system this week. That's right, the honor system for our Name It and Claim It. Tonight's Name It and Claim It prizes are beignets. That's right, beignets, because, of course, the professor is in New Orleans. So, if you name the artist, you get one beignet. If you name the song, you get two, and hopefully you'll have a cup of coffee with that. That was Muddy Waters. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Muddy Waters with Whiskey Blues. And tonight in the kitchen, we're going to be talking about whiskey. Now, for some of you longtime listeners of the show, you are aware, no doubt, at this point, that I have saved some of the topics for our In the Kitchen segment for certain moments. You may recall that I did not discuss frogs as an example until after we had had a discussion about the ecological impact and conservationism, etc. So I've been saving this one as well. Why? Well, because there were a couple of things I wanted to say before we got to it. And I'm going to say those things right now. I am no teetotaler. Please do not think I am. I am not an individual to police or patrol other people and their lifestyles. That being said, let me tell you how dangerous whiskey can be. Very, very, very dangerous. And in this I include, all forms of drinkable alcohol. I include regular old hooch, moonshine, wine, beer, port, brandy, etc. Why do I say that? Because it's true. I have known too many people who have destroyed their lives utterly with a bottle. Now, it's true, I've known a lot of people that destroyed their lives with an angry fix in their arm, but I have known far more that ruined themselves with whiskey and wine. Now, I say this because we're discussing tonight the spiritual uses of whiskey. And there are some people out there who say, oh, there's absolutely no spiritual use for whiskey, for alcohol, for rum, etc., for vodka, etc., etc. And those people know very little about the folk magic traditions of an entire variety of people. There certainly are spiritual and magical uses for these substances. But I want you to take this away before we get into discussing whiskey and hoodoo. I want you to remember who's boss. Are you boss, or is the bottle boss? Because if the bottle is boss, I guarantee you it's going to bleed over into your spiritual work. If you are a slave, if you are in bondage to a bottle, you will continue to obey that bottle and obey those spirits, the spirits in that bottle, before you are capable of doing work with your spirits, your ancestors, or others. So please forgive me my little pontification early, but it needed to be said. Now, whiskey has a lot of uses. We see large number of uses of whiskey and hoodoo. It's used to extract herbal essences, to leach out, to make tinctures from a variety of herbs and roots and flowers, both for drinking and for bathing. It is, of course, a sacred substance and is used akin in many ways to Florida water or Kananga water as a libation or an offering for the dead. And like urine and certain colognes and perfumes, probably the best known of which would be Hoyt's cologne. It's also used, whiskey is also used, to feed and dress mojos. Mojo bags, mojo hands. So right there, we have a huge variety of things that whiskey is used for in hoodoo. You see it used to make tinctures. You see it used as libations and offerings for the dead, both at home altars and in graveyards. And of course, now it's being used to dress and to feed mojo bags and mojo hands. So let's discuss this about the graveyard for a moment. Whiskey can be used in paying for graveyard dirt. Now, there are many different ways of purchasing graveyard dirt, and certainly not all of them involve whiskey. But here are a few that do. You can take a glass, that would be like a water glass, of whiskey and 3 cents to the graveyard. You dig a hole over the heart of the grave, collect the dirt, and place the money in the hole and set the glass on the money. Then you would step backwards over the glass 3 times and leave it there. Or you could carry a bottle of whiskey to the grave of someone you knew and pour it at the foot of the grave and ask the spirit to help and take dirt from the head of the grave. You can also carry a whiskey glass and a silver dime to the graveyard at midnight and set the glass at the head of the grave, dig a hole over the heart, collect the dirt, and then bury the dime in the hole. I myself have left many libations at many graves when purchasing graveyard dirt for a variety of purposes. And I have also, on occasion when I have done this, went and specifically bought the little tiny bottles of whiskey, you know, like the little travel-sized bottles of whiskey, or when you on the airplane and you say, excuse me, may I have, and they give you a little tiny bottle, so that I could bring an entire bottle and give that fully to the grave. In other words, I didn't give part of my whiskey and then take the rest of the whiskey away. I bought that whole little bottle, would open that up, pour that libation. Sometimes I have left that bottle unopened as well. I don't normally leave an unopened bottle because, well, people will come by and say, oh, a bottle of whiskey, and take the whiskey away. So there's an example of what we're talking about when we speak about using it as a libation or an offering for the dead, particularly in this case for the collection of graveyard dirt. However, there are other ways you can use whiskey. You can use whiskey to capture a lover. Yes. To do this, you take your unwashed underwear or one of your unwashed socks and strain the whiskey through it, and then give that to your lover to drink. Now, some women will substitute tomatoes for the whiskey if their underwear is stained with their menstrual blood, and then they'll use those tomatoes in cooking. But if your underwear is not stained with menstrual blood, then you can just use the whiskey, you see. Now, inevitably, someone turns up their nose and goes, unwashed underwear, oh no, unwashed underwear. But you have to think about what we're doing here. You have to think about the connection that we're making. You have to think about the substance that is being used here. Let me give you an example. You could take a brand new clean pair of underwear, put those underwear on, okay, young ladies, put that underwear on, lay down in those panties, pleasure yourself, bring yourself to orgasm while thinking of your lover. When you orgasm, you could call out your lover's name. Then, after you're finished and settled down and cooled off, take those panties and strain the whiskey through them. You see, No one's saying here, you know, well, you put on your boxers in the day and go about your business, and particularly if you've had a bad case of diarrhea over the week, then strain whiskey. No, come on. See, but people get real genteel, real fast, when you start talking about such issues as this. But these are just two small examples of what whiskey can be used for, and of course, we did touch briefly upon the idea of whiskey being used to feed a mojo bag once it is prepared and once it's been brought to life, to feed it however often you're going to feed it, once a week or once a month under the certain moon phase, etc. So there's a lot of uses of whiskey in hoodoo, far more than we've covered here tonight, and I hope that you'll take some time this week to go out and study it a bit. Find out not just about how whiskey is used in hoodoo, but where whiskey comes from, how it's made, what's the process of it. Think about it. Think about why it's a libation for the dead. Think about how not only can it be used to make those tinctures from plant material, but also this idea we just talked about straining it through your underwear, straining it through your sock to bring that lover, to control that lover, to compel that lover. So you might even want to look at how whiskey is used in a number of different cultures. We want to take a moment here to thank Miss Catherine Ironwood for the use and inclusion of materials from her wonderful book, Hoodoo Herb and Root Magic, A Materia Magica of African American Conjure, in our In the Kitchen section each and every week. Up next, we're going to answer a letter. Well, we finished up everything else, kids. We did the secrets of scriptural sorcery. We did what we do. We did divination in you. We did reading with playing cards and magic with playing cards. So until we come up with a new topic, we're going to be answering some letters. And this week, we're going to answer a letter that's going to bring us back. That's right. It's going to bring us back to a subject we've touched upon twice before. Oh, yes. We're going to be talking about songs, music, and the radio. Stay tuned.
Oh, Carter is a man, broadcasts all over this land. Is all over this land, and it takes women from the men, or just any old place he lands. When I get to use my broadcaster, it goes all round and round. When I get to use my broadcaster, it goes all round and round. When the women receive the news, they'll sure to put the men all down. When you turn your radio light on, baby, you'll look right in Bull Carter's face. When you turn your radio light on, baby, you'll look right in Bull Carter's face. But you need not worry, I'm gonna surely broadcast for you someday. Always tell forget this land. The men can always tell when Bull Carter have hit this band. Says the women, they all start to the really misbeating all the men. They get the women their money, they really buy them the clothes. They get the women their money, they really buy them the clothes. But to that broadcasting Bull Carter, these women, they are bound to go.
Honor system. Congratulations to anyone who got it. Enjoy those beignets. Well, we got a letter here to the show today, which I'm in the past, you're in the future. And this pet letter comes to us from Al. And Al wrote and said, "Hello, Professor Porterfield. I did hear a while back on the show that you were going to teach how to, quote, embed music into candle work. I would like to learn about that. Didn't have a chance to listen to any other shows where you actually taught how to do it. Thanks, Al." Well, Al, first of all, that's not quite what I said. I didn't exactly say you could, quote, embed music into candle work. So, what I did talk about, and what I'm going to talk about tonight, is I talked a little bit about radiomancy. And there are a few of us who have practiced and refined the art of radiomancy. Myself and my pal, Catherine Ironwood, included. And we've talked about on the show about that, and if you want to listen to that, just go back into the archives and you can find it where we talked. We had two different segments on it. And the question has become, can I use music in spell work? Well, of course you can. Of course you can. And there are a lot of different ways you can do this. So let's talk a little bit about that here in our third segment on radiomancy. Consider, if you will, for a moment, what I've been teaching you over the last few weeks about playing card readings and playing card magic, about how one of the first steps in using playing cards for magical purposes is to have an understanding of the meaning of that card, whether it be a tarot card or a playing card. So let's take as an example one that pretty much everybody knows, the Ace of Spades. All right, now, we live here in America, and we have music, we have television, we have movies, we have books, plays, literature, and probably at one point in time or another, we've all heard from one source or another that the Ace of Spades is the death card. Dun, dun, dun. So it's pretty much unlikely that you're going to be doing any love work with the Ace of Spades. I mean, there's always a situation, right? Somebody can now sit around and make up some contrived argument about, well, there's this couple and I want the girl and she's in love with the guy, so I want to kill him, so yes, I am using the Ace of Spades in my love work, etc. Well, okay, first of all, that's a little shady kind of work you're doing there, buddy. But second of all, you can always find a excuse. You can always find, you know, this is the rare time. But generally, you're not going to be using the Ace of Spades in love work. So, I bring this up because it applies directly to this idea of using music in your spell work. So there's a song. It can be any song. It's by a musician. It can be any musician. It can be the blues. It can be classical. It could be opera. It can be good old-fashioned rock and roll, country, and western. Round here, we have both kinds of music, country and western. It can be pretty much anything. And let us say that it has a particular meaning. Now, where do we find meaning? We can find meaning in the lyrics. If the song is an open and obvious protest song, well, that doesn't lend itself well to, establishing some sort of business that preys upon the common people, as an example. It obviously lends itself towards matters of social justice, etc. So, you can find that meaning in the lyrics, you can find that meaning in the tone and quality of the music, how it makes you feel. You can find that meaning in the way that other people, the general populace, view or accept that particular song. And sometimes songs can be quite contradictory. There are a number of songs with nice, snappy, upbeat rhythm and tone and music to it that when you listen to the lyrics, you just go, oh dear Lord, these are the most depressing lyrics in the world. Why are they associated to such a happy, upbeat piece of music? And vice versa. So you first have to have firmly in your mind and in your heart what that piece of music means and how you intend to use it. All right, so now you've got your piece of music. Now what do you do with it? Well, you can do a variety of things with it. You could indeed play that piece of music every time you went to do a piece of spell work. That music can lead and guide you. Now, right about now, somebody someplace has said the words chaos magic or personal gnosis or bullshit. And I have to tell you, no, no, no. None of the above. The use of music in magical ritual and spiritual ritual is as old as mankind. If you look at any traditional religion, any traditional set of sorceries or sorcerer societies, etc., you are going to find within them pieces of music and song that are used, and used constantly, and used in a particular manner that obviously is taught to the initiated. Now you might say, well, but what is that?
What is that guy doing a hoodoo?
Hey, hi, you're back. God, I thought we locked you out. Okay, well, kid, you can say what you did about what does that have to do with hoodoo, but here's the answer. Every day, there are people practicing hoodoo as far back as the hills using the Psalms. They use the Psalms. These Psalms left, right, and center. Well, what do you think the Psalms are? The Psalms are songs. Oh, I'll admit, we've lost the tune, but the lyrics remain. These are Jewish songs. That's what Psalms means. They're songs. They, once upon a time, had a piece of music that went with them. That's gone, but we still have the words, and we still use those words. We intone them, we pray them, we chant them, we write them out on pieces of paper because they're meaningful to our work. We scratch them into the sides of candles, we write them on playing cards, on petition papers, we boil those papers up to put them into baths, we recite them while we're bathing, while we're doing cleansing, while we're doing cursing, all sorts of work. But I'm here to tell you, at the end of the day, all they are is song lyrics. Oh, yes, I understand. Song lyrics from King David. Oh, yes, I understand. Songs inspired by the divine spirit, etc., etc., etc. But still, they're song lyrics. So this idea of using the lyrics of songs is not so strange. I myself have seen a number of effective pieces of curse work done with the song lyrics from popular artists. All right? I'm not talking about Angel. I'm not talking about King David here, guys. I'm talking about, you know, these are well-known artists of the 60s and 70s. You can do the same. So you could, A, first, be playing the music while you're doing the ritual. You, two, can consider those lyrics and how you mean them and how you're going to be using them. Let's say, excuse me, let's say, not to hyperfixate on curses, but let's say you have a song. This is a popular song. They play it on the radio. It's out there. And you do a piece of work to associate that song to the individual that you wish to curse. You write out the lyrics on a petition paper along with the rest of your petition about how you want them to be cursed. You place that under the work that you're doing. Let's say you're lighting a black candle on them. Let's say, you know, you're going to do something else with it. But now you're going to take it one step further. You're going to get the song to the person. Now, let me stop here for a moment and tell you how easy musical magic has become in the last, oh, let's say 30 years. It's become tremendously easy because music is everywhere now at the touch of a finger. People put music up on Facebook. They put music up on all sorts of social media. They have Spotify. They have this thing and that program and so-and-so's program that collect and keep song lists, playlists, sort of like back in the old days when we made a mixtape, except now you can do it on the computer and share it with your friends. To get a song to someone nowadays under a lighthearted cover is as easy as pie. And you can also get people to participate without them necessarily knowing they're participating. Listen, it's one thing to print a curse against someone, let's say in a book, and to sell, oh, I don't know, a million copies of that book, and to get a million readers to read that curse aloud because they're looking at it, studying it, looking at what you've written. That's a hell of a thing. To get a whole lot of readers to read a curse aloud or sub voco or in their minds that you've prepared against somebody else. It doesn't have to be a million. What if it's only, 5,000? That's still something. Well, what if I have a song that I've picked out? I've worked very hard to attach this song to the work I'm doing. A love spell. Let's not just talk about cursing. A love spell between two people. I play the musical song. I play it when I do the love work for them. I've written out the beautiful lyrics about how two people come to each other. Whatever. You know, there are plenty of songs about love. I've written that out on my petition paper. I've got that with my beautiful little red Eve and my little red Adam candle. I've got them bound up with red twine, sewing thread, ribbon to draw them closer. I've got all the good herbs going. I've got the fire lit. I've got a pair of his underwear and her underwear tied together, or his sock and her sock tied together. I've got him off someplace actually pouring whiskey through his underwear for his Friday night date with her. Now, I've got the song associated to them. So I go out onto, let's say Facebook, and I post up a link to that song. Link to that song on YouTube, Spotify, wherever. And I write a little something. What a happy song. You know, thoughts of love today. Click,
enter, post. Now you see it. Oh, look, Professor Porterfield put up a song. Gosh, he's so fun. I love his radio show. I'm going to play that song. You play the song, you listen, you know it. It's a popular song, you sing along. Guess what? You're helping me. You're helping me. So you can get others to do this, to help you. You can also send a song to someone. Just thinking of you, remember once upon a time we went to the concert, whatever, and it doesn't have to be a nice song. It can be any number of songs. You can do the same thing. In other words, just like there are traditional music and traditional songs in, as one example, African traditional religions, just like the Psalms themselves are the remaining lyrics of songs that we no longer have the music for, so too we are surrounded by music every day that evokes emotion and creates response, and you can link that to your work effectively, and then put it out into the world to get it to the person you're trying to work on or work for, or to get others, consciously or unconsciously, to aid you in your work. I hope that has answered your question, Al, and has given you a little insight into, attaching music to work. And so, there you go. That's been that. Up next, we're going to go and close out the show with the Professor's Pontification. Oh, yes. Yes, we are, my friends. You knew I was going to send out some kind of a signal.
What's that signal? Why, that's the LMC Radio Network on the air! The LMC Radio Network, broadcasting around the globe, bringing news, information, education, and entertainment to all. It's the LMC Radio Network in the Vanguard.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner with Candela Canvisa, Michael Carell, and Lady A, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Dania, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Oh, yes, boys and girls, it is I, Count Gulash, the Phantom of the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, here once again with my friend Lefty the Skeleton to tell you about the Lucky Mojo Curio Company of 6632 Covey Road, Forestville, California. Did you know that Lucky Mojo is both an online magical shop and a real magical store that you can visit? I know, because I live there, down below in the crypts. Lucky Mojo carries a full line of handmade spirituals, occult oils, incense, powders. Oh, yes, powders. Candles, herbs, mojo bags, spiritual soaps, books, and spell kits for those who cast magic spells, love spells, money spells, and protection spells in the African-American hoodoo, pagan magic, and other witchcraft traditions. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about the Lucky Mojo Curio Company of 6632 Covey Road, Forestville, California. And online at www.luckymojo.com. Yes, we're online, so you can sit in the comfort of your own home and browse chapter page, looking at hundreds, thousands of items from all around the world, and then order them and have them brought to the comfort and supposed safety of your own home. That's right! The Lucky Mojo Curio Company of 6632 Covey Road, Forestville, California, and online at www.luckymojo.com. Tell them that Count Goulash sent you.
Okay, yes, ladies and gentlemen, once again, Count Goulash. Thank you so much, Count Goulash, for bringing us that information each and every week. And thank you so much to Troll Towelhead, our chief engineer here at the LMC Radio Network, for that update of our shows each and every week. Remember, keep your ears pricked and your eyes open, because soon we'll have some new shows coming up to delight you. Up next, well, up next, a few words from the professor. A few words to tell you that you need fear no darkness.
Well, you're my friend, and can you see many times we've been out drinking, many times we shared our thoughts. But did you ever, ever notice the kind of thoughts I got? Well, you know I have a love for everyone I know. And you know I have a drive to live, I won't let go. Well, can you see its opposition comes rising up sometimes? That it's dreadful and position comes blacking in my mind, and that I see your darkness, and that I see your darkness, and that I see your darkness, and that I see your darkness. Did you know how much I love you? Is the hope that somehow you can save me from this darkness? Well, I hope that someday, buddy, we have peace in our lives, together or apart, alone or with our wives, and we can stop our whoring and pull the smiles inside and light it up forever and never go to sleep. My best unbeaten brother, this isn't all I see.
darkness. Oh, no, I see a darkness. No, I see a darkness. Oh, no, I see a darkness. Did you know how much I love you? Is the hope that somehow you can save me from this darkness.
Oh, yes, that was, of course, the great Johnny Cash with I See a Darkness. And that leads us into tonight's Professor's Pontification, Together or Apart. You know, friends, we try to keep this show somewhat lighthearted. Certainly, we talk about a lot of serious topics, and, you know, I've tried to address them head on, but, you know, hey, always with a little humor, always with a little touch. And I have to tell you, I don't have much humor left. It's been, well, 2 weeks now, almost, 2 weeks tomorrow, since Charlottesville, and all of the incidences that happened there, and then Boston, and President's speeches, you know, on all sides, and all sorts of different things that have happened. And I would like to talk about it. But I'm pretty sure that many of you are probably pretty burnt out at this point in time. And no shame upon you that you are. It's been a hell of a 2 weeks here in America. I wish that I was a better speaker. I wish that I had more eloquence than I do. I wish that I could say something that would make it all better or clearer or lay it all out. But I don't have those skills. All I can do is sit here in front of this microphone and speak to you openly and honestly from my heart. And so that's what I'm going to do this week. I'm going to at least try not to go over all the damn details again. We've heard them, we've seen them, we've watched all those damn videos again and again and again, and the horror and the fear and the fright of them. But inevitably, the question always comes up, what has it got to do with hoodoo? Well, it's got a whole goddamn lot to do with hoodoo. Let me tell you something about hoodoo. You may not like it. That's okay. Do you know where to send in those ugly letters? I've got reams of them. The thing about hoodoo is, it's a mélange. It's a fancy French word. It's a mélange. It's a whole bunch of stuff put together. Not look at hoodoo and say, it is all Native American. It is all bits and pieces of Bible. It is all this, the other thing, including it is all African American or African. No, it is bits and pieces of something. And I don't want to beleaguer an example, but I'm going to. It's not unlike gumbo. Gumbo's not gumbo without the roux. Gumbo's not gumbo without the rice. And gumbo's not gumbo without
the okra. And then you can put whatever meat you want in there. You can chicken, shrimp, sausage. But those things come from someplace. It's undeniable. It is undeniable that gumbo has African roots. Period. Don't like it? Don't eat it. By the same token, it is undeniable that gumbo has French roots. It is also undeniable that it has Native American roots. Okay? Where do you think that sassafras comes from? It's all in there. And when it's done right, it's wonderful. I mean, it's one of the most delicious bowls of food you can ever be handed. And when it's done wrong, it's slop. Pure D slop. And it, to me, is a lot like hoodoo, because everybody wants to own it, everybody wants to do something with it, and a whole damn lot of people want to change it. They want to put some new take on it. They want to take sole credit for it and leave people behind. Let me tell you, if you'd like a little education, you should go out and read what a lot of African-American chefs are writing about Southern cuisine and about what non-African-American, primarily white chefs, have done about appropriation and about changing up and about seeking ownership of certain parts of Southern cuisine that absolutely belong to the African-American community. Go and read about it. You'll get yourself an education. What does this all mean? Why are you talking about food? What's food got to do with Charleston? Where the hell are you going, Professor Porterfield? Well, I'm going here, together or apart. After Charleston, Boston, the take on it of the president and everybody else and their dog, I kind of hoped. The tiny little hope in my old cynical soul that this would bring us together. And it has, in many places and many people, it has forged new alliances, new resolve, new centering, new respect, but it has also created a hell of a lot of division. So I've got a few things to say, and after I say them, you can turn me off and never listen to me again. You can, you know, go to your saved links and delete my website. You can just, you know, do whatever. Or you can say thank you. I don't care. I mean, either way, I'm not doing it for either of those responses. I'm not doing it to drive people off. I'm not doing it to curry favor. I'm saying this because it comes from me. That's why there's that little warning at the beginning of the show. So here it comes. Ready? Here it comes. I do not give two good damns about the motherfucking Confederacy. Now listen up. Listen up, because a lot of y'all got a lot of excuses. A lot of y'all say people that are not from the South. Well, people that aren't a part of our culture. Well, people that don't know our heritage. Well, people who, you know what the argument is, people who ain't from around here. You strangers. You strangers who ain't from around here. You instigators. You rabble-rousers from up north. You Yankees. You carpetbaggers. You scallywags. You don't understand. Okay, well, don't mistake me for someone wholly other. I am from the South. You can argue about that.
Well, Texas isn't really the South.
Well, guess what? Texas is where the South meets the West. Okay? Don't talk to me about the Confederacy. I've seen all that. The flags, the statues, been brought up around it. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. I care about Johnny Reb. I do not care. Let me write. Hey, you can write this down on a piece of paper and bring it to me and I'll sign it. I do not care about Johnny Reb. Okay? Don't care about it. Not fascinated by it. Don't want to relive it. Let me say that one again. Don't want to relive it. And there's a whole new stripe of Johnny Rebs. They ain't all located in the South, but there's a whole new group of Johnny Rebs. And they want the same thing. They want out. They don't want out by leaving. They want to break apart. They don't want together. They want apart. Ways, some of them actually want some sort of apart. They want some sort of, you know, fence or maybe a wall, and they live behind it. Some want apart by sending everybody else the hell away. Isn't that nice of them? You all can go, I'll stay. But they want the same thing as always, the Johnny Reb. And I don't care about them. The rhetoric, the lies, the hypocrisy, our Southern heritage. What? Our Southern heritage. You all are literally whistling Dixie. Never thought I'd have a more fitting moment to say that, but that's what it is. You all are literally, that's what you're doing, pal. You're whistling Dixie. It's done. It's over. It's buried. It's finished. Been finished a long goddamn time. Been finished a long goddamn time around these parts. Long time. And you're still going on about it. You still want a part. One way or another. You want a part in another way too. You want to divide us. You want us to fight. You want us to fuss. Because you know that united we can stand against you. All this bullshit about the Confederacy, all this bullshit about statues and Southern heritage and this history and that, first of all, it's a lie. A lot of those statues were put up in the 20s and 30s, 1920s and 30s, long time after that war. Well, Reconstruction took so long. No, bullshit. Some of those statues were put up in the 50s in response to civil rights. Some of those statues, a lot of those statues are cheap-made knockoffs that are just rolled out of a goddamn assembly line. Check it out. If you wonder why when some of them fall, they crumple up like tin. All this is the bitter dregs. The cup of wine is gone, and all that's left is the bitter dregs. This is a fetishization and a reimagination of the goals and ambitions of traitors. And as far as I'm concerned, my union and my republic has no place for them. Period. That doesn't mean I'm saying let's round them up and kill them. Don't put words in my goddamn mouth. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it has no place. It doesn't belong here. Together or apart. But see, a lot of people don't want to be together. They want to fight and fuss and feud. And a lot of people like the fighting and the fussing and the feuding because it aggrandizes them. It does all sorts of things. This is not new talk from me. If you are a fan and listener, either or both, of the Now You Know show, you've heard me talk on these types of subjects before. I'm not Johnny come lately to the table about this. And I was talking about it a long time before anyone ever said, let's give him a microphone. And I went, you're going to give me a microphone? Oh, okay. I'm not new to this. But I never thought I'd see some of the things I've since seen. I never thought I'd see a moment when Nazis, out and out Nazis, flat out Nazis. And listen, man, you can debate all that shit. You know, you can run around me wagging your tongues for fucking an hour. I don't care. Alright? They don't fit your... And they don't... Hard carrying. Well, the Nazis were... Well, their aims are good. No, come on. Come on. You are incredibly disingenuous. These are people with Nazi flags, chanting Nazi slogans, giving Nazi salutes, with Sieg and Heil and Nazi ideas, Nazi doctrine. It doesn't matter that they don't fit your, fascist dog show lineup with their pedigree. I'm sorry, this poem doesn't seem to be quite racist enough. It's a lovely Afghan hound, but is it really a Nazi Afghan? You know, come on. We're not checking pedigrees here, people. And I never thought I would live to a moment in my life where I saw actual Nazis marching and chanting in groups with torches. I don't give a fuck if they're tiki torches. I also don't find it funny that they're tiki torches. That doesn't, hasn't given me any sort of humor. You know, they got it at the garden center. Hasn't made it better for me. Marching in the streets of America, chanting that shit, and that then 72, 96, 4 day, 5 day, 6 day, a week plus later, people would be saying shit about, like, well, what has this got to do with Jews? Friends who are supposed to be allies, people who are supposed to be on the side, saying, well, the Jews, oh, come on, oh, they're so whiny, oh, they always involve themselves, oh, they always make much of it, come on, nothing's going to happen to Jews. Yeah, that's why they were saying, gas the kikes, next stop Auschwitz. We got three goals here: to secure white culture, then to free market, and to kill Jews. Come on. I'm tired of the excuses. Together or apart. I'm tired of listening to people say, well, we didn't have a problem with racism until Obama was president. Well, if black people would just stop talking about racism, it would go away. Well, it would go away in the sense that you wouldn't hear about it anymore. I'm sure anti-Semitism would go away if Jews would just stop talking about it, right? If everybody just shut their damn mouths, then it would go away. But together or apart. There's a quote attributed to Benjamin Franklin. I don't know if it's correct or not. You can fact check me on this. In which he said, gentlemen, we must hang together or surely we will all hang separately. Now, I may have that wrong. Watch, it'll be Payne or somebody who said it. Together or apart. What does it have to do with hoodoo? Hoodoo is a melange. Hoodoo is made up of a lot of different people. African Americans brought here in slavery, oppressed and decimated Native Americans, scorned and hunted Jews. The list goes on. And it grows. It has included Chinese immigrants, Hispanic and Latino immigrants, many, many different people. Its strength is in its together. I'm tired. And I'm sick to my stomach of what I've been seeing. But I will not bow down. I will not give up. And I'm not just talking about fighting. It's so easy to say fight and yell and punch and storm and this and that. No, I will not give up hope. I will not give up belief in a better day. I will not give up the idea that the sun will shine again and that things will be good. I will not give up because I can't. Because I look into the little 5-year-old faces of my grandsons, and I know that yes, they need me to fight, and yes, they need me to be strong, and yes, they need their Zadie to speak out and to lend a hand, but they also need hope. So I will do both, together or apart. I hope that you will do it with me together, but I will do it even as we must be apart. Because, like the man says, this is not the end.
Ah, this is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. But it is perhaps the end of the beginning.
Texas, and go to Texarkana, and don't fight the fool west. Come on down to Dallas, King Kong, Katie, coming through the territory in Kansas City, and Kansas City, St. Louis, and St. Louis, Chicago. I'm on my way, but I'm doing well. Texas, going to Dallas, hotel, Grand Sling, Silver Lake, Mineola, Tyler, Longview, Joseph, Marshall, Little Sandy, Big Sandy, Texarkana, and Double Badger Fool World. Hello, Greenville, Seales, Denison, South McAllister, Territory, Muskoka, Wagner, Austin, Kansas, Kansas City, Sedalia. Then I changed cars and jumped in Seminole.
Appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more, all served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine. If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more, all served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.